Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen. If you have questions, ideas, and thoughts, you can register at the website, KOABD.com. That will lead you over to KatherineColleen.com. That's KatherineColleen.com, where you can ask your questions, leave your feedback, and so forth. We'd love for you to join us. So today we're talking about getting from here to there, allowing the creative to come through by standing up to yourself. So for me, the challenge of leaving behind the task list and living full time in the flow of my river has always been a hard one for me. I'm very type A, driven, productivity oriented. You know, I like to do things and I like to see things completed. But this phase of my life is not about being productive. It's not about being lazy either, but it's about exploration. It's about discovery. It's about sharing what I'm learning. As a holdover from past lives, I have, and by that I mean when I was younger, I have a one-page task list, which is meticulously organized into sections by time criticality and by importance for each of several categories, from personal to household to business to art and music and more. It's really freaking impressive, actually. It's pretty great. But the problem is this task list, it runs my life and it must die. This master task list exists because I fret about forgetting to do things that need to be done. And that's pretty legit, I think. I often forget, and having things written down helps me remember. But I end up spending time updating, tracking, and completing tasks instead of reading, thinking, creating, and doing the things that I really want to be doing. Because being creative is hard, and tasks are easy, because, you know, being creative is scary and tasks are not. But I'll forget something important. My ego, it screams at me, you know, I'm gonna forget. No, you won't. If it's that important or urgent, I won't forget. And if I forget, then it wasn't that important or urgent. So I made a pact with myself. For every task that pops up in my world, from, you know, needing to do the laundry, to finishing a video for a song, or anything else that pops up, I don't care what it is, what category it is, if it's personal, if it's household, if it's kids, if it's music, if it's art, if it's writing, I don't care. Here's the deal. I will either, one, delegate it, or two, do it now, or three, schedule it. So one, delegate it. This is the best possible solution. Can someone else do this better? Who can I hand this off to? If I can, get rid of it. Give it to somebody else to do. Two, do it now. And I don't just mean do it now. I mean do it right this minute. I tend to delay little things like starting that laundry or sending that email. You know, just do it. And if I absolutely cannot hand it off, if I cannot do it right this minute, then, three, schedule it. On the calendar, make a meeting with this task. Anything non-creative in nature has to be scheduled outside of sacred creative time. But get it on the calendar, and then I know I won't forget it. Right? Then I don't have to worry about forgetting. I'm not going to forget it. You know, and thus far, you know, it's been working pretty good. So this approach assures me that I won't forget. So I don't stay up at night thinking about what I might forget, just so I won't forget it. And I think it's going to work. So the next step is burn that task list. And burn it, I did. Literally burned it in the fireplace. And I have not looked back since. Now, being massively task-oriented for too long sucks the creativity right out of me. I need to get back to the creative and musical space. So the first thing I thought I might try was to specify creative time and dictate that I must spend some of it creating and some of it practicing and some of it on production. Oh, oh no, sweet sweet child. There I was making a task list again. So task oriented. So the challenge of no task lists, just flow, is so against anything in my upbringing. It's so easy to shut off the creative part of myself in favor of the more administrative side. It's much harder than to get it back going again. In The War of Art, a great book, the author notes, Hitler wanted to be an artist. It was easier for him to start World War II than it was to face a blank canvas. True story. That's how hard it can be. So why is there internal resistance to anything creative or self-bettering or non-immediate gratification? That we meet this immense internal resistance to it. And that's what the task lists are to me. It's avoidance of the hard creative work. It's a denial of the flow that brings divine inspiration. But task lists are just the beginning. Once you get past that, you have to contend with negative self-talk. See, the closer you get to your true purpose, the one thing that's totally unique and will really help people, but you have to go out on a limb for it, the heavier the resistance from inside yourself. And from outside yourself, but that's a story for another time. In The War of Art, the author elaborates on the many things that can get in the way. Procrastination, trouble you cause for yourself, drama, self-diagnoses, self-medication, victimhood, negative self-talk, voices, shopping, other vices. Now let me add a few. Martyring myself as a mother to prove to myself that I'm a good mother, which is such a stupid thing. It doesn't actually exist. Self-criticism, self-doubt, fear, reliving past injustices. A thousand reasons, all legit, as to why I can't right now, but soon, right? Does any of this sound familiar? Internal resistance to creative or long-term endeavor is universally human, with creative endeavors and anything particularly unique being the most susceptible. So recognizing this is the first step to standing up to it, ignoring it, and being creative anyway. And creative can mean a lot of things here. It's not necessarily art, music, writing sorts of stuff. It could be building a business. It could be anything you endeavor to do that is new and different is creative. So step two is calling yourself out, right? So here we go. Richard Feynman said, the first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool, right? I am more likely to be suspect of anyone and everyone's opinion of everything rather than to trust it, right? Because people can fool you all day long, and some do so knowingly, and some do so on accident, but no one fools me anymore other than me. Man, I'm good at it. Given half a chance, I will pull myself towards mediocrity with one bullshit excuse after another. You know, oh, I can't run 5 miles today because, or I can't put out my next album yet because, or I can't write anything new this week because, you know, bullshit. I'm calling myself out. Granted, there are only so many hours in a day, and you must prioritize. I will never have time to do the 1,000 things that I come up with to try, but that's not an excuse to do none of them. So I resolve. I will choose based on what compels me, not based on a task list. I will act. I will try. I will play. I will experiment. I will research. And I will do. I will not let perfection be the enemy of good enough. Choose, act, do. You know, somehow I think Jocko Willink would be proud. You can check out the link to him in the observation article on the website that goes with this. Cool guy. Get out there and make it happen. Sorry, Jocko, I'm not getting up at 4:30. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a musician. I like to sleep late. Anyway, forgive me, Jocko. So that's that. So for today's question, I picked one that I'm actually not certain I have the answer to, but here we go. So this one is, I have two small children, a full-time job, you know, a husband, a house to deal with, to maintain. How do I even begin to find time for self-reflection, for self-development, for this kind of personal growth, personal development? That's a really good question. So when I, first of all, congratulations on waking up, on recognizing that this is something that you want to do, on recognizing that there's more out there and wanting to know what that more is. So that's awesome. That's a huge first step. When I woke up, I was in my early 30s. And I had two small children and a full-time job and a husband and a house and the whole deal as well. And it was extraordinarily challenging to find time to enjoy self-development. So what I did was, and I'll tell you what worked for me, and then you can decide if this will work for you. But what I did was I started with the physical stuff. I knew I wanted to exercise, and I knew I wanted to eat right, and I knew I wanted to explore more about life. And I didn't really know where to begin. So I started with the exercise only because I knew what to do. So I started there, and I was getting up at like 5 a.m., 5:30, so that I could have a workout before the kids got up. And, you know, it was hard in the beginning, but it felt so good to be doing something for myself. And I just bought like an elliptical machine and put it in my house. You know, you could, if you live somewhere where the weather's nice, you know, you could go out for a run or just a walk or go to the gym or whatever, but figure out what works. And even if you don't spend a lot of time on it, it's something, and it's almost a form of meditation. So it allowed me to quiet my mind, and so that I, you know, you can let the river of your life in, and or cosmic Google is Jesse Elder calls it, you let the universe speak to you. And the rest will then start to come from there. So if exercise isn't your thing, I would start with something else. But carve out, even if you have to get up earlier to make it happen or spend longer in the bathroom to make it happen, carve out just even just half an hour, even just 30 minutes a day for yourself for this development. And you can use that 30 minutes in amazing ways. You can read. You can listen to podcasts like you're listening to this one. Thank you. Hope it's helpful. You can exercise. You can exercise and listen to podcasts. You can exercise and read. You'll notice it'll just snowball from there. So I would start with 30 minutes, one thing. And if you've got to break that up into 2 15-minute periods, which I know with small children, sometimes that's how it goes down, right? You know, like I can't get 30 minutes, but I can get 15 minutes here and I can get 15 minutes there. Fine. Do that. Even if you just use one of those 15 minutes for meditation and use the other for reading, but it's going to be a combination of some form of exercise. It might just be walking. It's going to be some form of, you know, prayer or meditation. It's going to be some form of reading or listening, stuff like that. So just try to and if you can't carve out 30 minutes, I mean, carve out 15. And if you can't carve out 15, you need to carve out 2 hours because mom needs a freaking break. And the reality is if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. So it's in your family's best interest to give you time to do this development. But I would start on your own a little bit. And then, you know, share that as it comes. Whoa, there's another subject for another time. Okay, so that'll do for today. Thanks for joining us. If you have questions, put them in the discussion area at the website, KatherineColleen.com/studio, in the community area. And let me know. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what your questions are. Let me know how I can help. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.